Let's get this right. There we go. In some ways, it's been a bit of an odd Advent. We've meant to be in the sanctuary up here since the beginning of Advent, and yet we spent 3 weeks downstairs in various degrees of construction and deconstruction along the way. And yet we are continuing to learn things that many of you love, the different style of worship down there and a more intimate feel, lower ceiling. But we're also excited to be back up here. It's been an odd Advent in part because for some of you, you're not familiar with the Chronicles of Narnia, the stories that we've been looking at on and off or regularly throughout the series and the season of Advent. For others of you, it's been familiar and joyful and fun as we've looked at Jesus, the light of the world, Jesus, the reason for celebration, and Jesus, our hope. And so this morning, we're going to continue by looking at the gifts that God gives us, and the greatest gift of whom is, or of which is, Jesus. And so today, in the midst of something of an odd series, we also have an odd conclusion to the series and a couple odd texts, 1 Corinthians 12 and Ephesians 6, texts that you wouldn't expect or that you wouldn't think of when you think of Advent, and yet here they are. So before we get to those texts, I want to do what we've been doing all series, which is just invite you to watch for about 2 minutes a short clip from The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe.
Certainly is, Lucy, since you have arrived.
Look, I've put up with a lot since I got here, but this...
We thought you were the witch.
Yes, I'm sorry about that, but in my defense, I have been driving one of these longer than the witch.
I thought there was no Christmas in Narnia.
No, not for a long time, but the hope that you have brought, your majesties, is finally starting to weaken the witch's power. Still, I dare say you could do with these.
Presents!
The juice of the fire flower. One drop will cure any injury. And though I hope you never have to use it.
Thank you, sir. I think I could be brave enough.
I'm sure you could. Battles are ugly affairs. Susan, trust in this bow, and it will not easily miss.
What happened to battles are ugly affairs?
Though you don't seem to have a problem making yourself heard, blow on this, and wherever you are, help will come.
Thanks.
Peter, the time to use these may be near at hand.
Thank you, sir.
These are tools, not toys. Bear them well and wisely. Now, I must be off. Winter is almost over. Things do pile up when you've been gone 100 years. Long live Aslan. And Merry Christmas!
Like I said before, probably some of you just want to finish the movie and skip the sermon. It's a good clip. It's a good story. The genius of C.S. Lewis in writing that story, as we've seen different segments of it throughout, is that the gifts the children receive at Christmas are for the battle that is ahead. And if you know the story, or you read the book, or seen the movie, then you know what that battle looks like. And as I said, the genius of C.S. Lewis is giving these children gifts that are for the battle ahead, because that's really what Scripture pictures for us as the gifts that God gives us as well. And so with that in mind, that clip in mind, I want to just invite you to follow along as we read these two kind of odd Christmas passages. First, 1 Corinthians 12 and then Ephesians 6. And we're just going to read a few verses from each. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 12, there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in every one, it is the same God at work. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. And then we skip ahead in the New Testament to the end of the book of Ephesians, Ephesians 6, where Paul, writing to the Ephesians, says, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything to stand, stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God." This morning, as we come and reflect on these odd texts, these gifts of God given for the common good, and these different pieces of armor that Paul talks about, using an image, an analogy of the day to picture for God's people what it looks like to be prepared for life ahead and for the battle ahead. As we come to this text, and as we come to the last Sunday of Advent, I want to suggest for you something that probably you've heard pastors say before, that Jesus is the greatest gift of all. Now, I hope that you're in hearing that, that sounds familiar, because it's something that you've thought about and reflected on and internalized. But for many of us, I think it's something that we've heard before and sort of just dismissed. That, well, of course, Jesus is the reason for the season, but I still want to know what's under the tree. Let's not forget about those gifts, too. Now, of course, we don't want to forget about whatever gifts that we are blessed to receive this Christmas, but as I said, I really do hope that when you hear a pastor say, when you hear me say that Jesus is the greatest gift that you can receive this Christmas, that there really is some meaning for those words, for you, behind those words. And here's why I think that. And here's why I want to share it with you and just reflect on that truth with you for a few minutes this morning. It comes out of this passage, really, in Ephesians. This passage, or this understanding that our battle is not against flesh and blood, but rather against the powers of darkness in this world. Our battle is not against the people around us, certainly, and not even against the things that happen to us. But rather, what C.S. Lewis helps us see, and more clearly what Scripture helps us see, is that our own lives and our own stories fit within a much bigger story, a much bigger narrative, the story of God and his love for his people that spans all the way back to the Old Testament to through creation and includes the people of Israel in their celebration of the temple. And it's a story that spans all the way forward into history, through history, not just to the end of the world, but into eternity itself, where God's people are promised that we will spend eternity with God. And so when I say that Jesus is the greatest gift that we can receive, the reason is that our battle is not against flesh and blood, but against the powers and principalities of darkness in this world. That so often our gifts, the gifts that we receive and the gifts that we give, are gifts that help us in our life for about 8 to 10 months, and then we forget about what we got last Christmas and look for something else in the next year. But think about it this way. For some of us this morning, our battle is tiredness and exhaustion. We've been busy for weeks, months, maybe even years. And finally, some of that has caught up. But I wonder, why are you tired? Is it because you are loving and seeking the praise of others? Is it because you long for the affirmation that other people give, and so you're willing to work harder and longer and push yourself further because you desperately want the thanks, the affirmation? You see, in Jesus, the acceptance of God is yours for free. You don't have to work for it, and you can't earn it. Jesus is the greatest gift to solve the problem, to face your tiredness, your exhaustion. And even if your tiredness or exhaustion comes from this idea or belief, as it sometimes does for me, that, well, I'm the only one who can do this. Everybody else is going to make some sort of mistake along the way or not get it quite right. It's got to be me. Even in that attitude, Jesus meets us in our tiredness and exhaustion and challenges us, but gently reminds us too that he's the only one who's really sufficient. That all of us are broken and incapable of something of perfection in one way or another. He's the only true perfect one who can really get it right and who ultimately did get it right, who paid for sin fully and perfectly on the cross. See, Jesus is the greatest gift for the battle ahead for those of us who are tired. Excuse me. For some of us, that battle isn't tiredness or exhaustion. Maybe it's anger. Maybe it's relational pain. And some of you are the cause of that pain and that brokenness in relationships. Others of you are the recipient or the victim or the unwilling accomplice to that brokenness, to that pain, to someone else's anger. But there's no amount of gifts that can fix that relationship. Not at least without the forgiveness and the love that comes from God. See, whether your broken relationship is between someone you know and would like to love, or someone you know and you're happy hating, or whether your broken relationship is between you and God, Jesus is ultimately the only one who can bridge that gap, who can fix what is totally broken. See, we, in our best efforts, give gifts and say that we forgive, but we can't make wrongs right. We can only do our best to forgive and to move on. But Jesus was the one who took the weight of sin on himself, who took all of the anger and all of the pain that you have and that you caused and took it away, took it on himself so that you're left with grace, forgiveness, and joy, so that you're left with a right relationship with God and a right relationship with others. Jesus is the ultimate gift for the battle ahead. And I'll give you one more example, although there are many more that we could talk about this morning. For others of us, our battle is with sadness, with depression, with grief, with addiction. And for us, Jesus, too, is the gift, the ultimate gift for the battle ahead. See, all of us have some emptiness within us that we would like to have filled. And whether it's grief or pain, or sadness or addiction, there's no amount of food you can eat or drink you can drink. There's no amount of joy riding you can go on or experiences you can have that will fill you up. Always be looking for more until you receive Jesus. The God of all the universe, the God who made everything there is and who is greater and bigger than everything there is, and yet who chooses to live with and in his people. The God of all the universe, to fill us up to overflowing, to equip us for the battle ahead. What is that battle? Well, as I've said a few times now, the battle is not against the Grinch or against whoever's against Santa. The battle is not against our fellow men or women or family or estranged friends. It's not against flesh and blood. It's not against the people who have wronged us. What we see in the story of Scripture, what we see in the birth of Jesus, is that our battle, the battles in our own lives, fit within a much broader story, a much bigger battle. The battle, as Paul says, against the powers of darkness in this world. The battle against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. You see, that's the other reason why Jesus is the greatest gift. Because the gifts we give each other will last for a while. And they're good gifts. But only the love of Jesus, only the person of God will last forever. And only Jesus is able to overcome the darkness of Satan and of these dark powers in our world. So what about the gifts that we do have? What about the stuff that's under the tree right now? What about the character, the good character that we have, the strengths that we have, the abilities that we bring to the table? What about all those characters that, or characteristics that Paul talks about later in Ephesians chapter 6? The belt of truth buckled around your waist, the breastplate of righteousness, your feet fitted with a readiness from the gospel of peace, the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit. Even all these are themselves gifts from God, gifts that find their fullness in relationship with God. Just one brief example, truth comes from God. Truth comes from us. It ends up hurting others, usually. Well, this is where Corinthians helps us out, I think. What do we do with the gifts that God has given us? We use them for the common good. Christmas, so often, the closer we get to Christmas, the harder our society pushes us to not just give gifts to others, but to focus on ourselves. I love to pick on restaurants that say, if you give $25, you'll get a $5 gift card for yourself, right? And that appeals to me, it appeals to many of us, because we feel that in giving to someone else, we'll get for ourselves. And yet, that's not what the picture that Paul gives us. The picture he gives us is that whatever we have received is not to be used for ourselves, but is instead to be shared for the common good. Because if you have received the gift of Jesus, if you have a relationship with the God of the heavens and the earth, then you already have the greatest Christmas gift you could ever receive, and you don't need anything else. It's not because our truth or faithfulness or our love of God won't carry us. It's actually because he will carry us. Because even all that armor is just what we put on to join God in the battle that ultimately he is fighting, and that ultimately he will win. If you've already received Jesus, then you already have the greatest gift, and you don't need anything else. What a challenge that is in our culture that's so focused on receiving, on getting more and accumulating more. For Christians to stand up and say, we have everything we need. And so we can share what we are given with others. If it's true that you as an individual have everything you need in Jesus, then it's also true that as a community, as a church, we also have everything we need. And the gifts that we have given that we receive, we're to share with others. That's in part why we had the deacons celebrate the kingdom with us. I had many of you participate in requesting money for gifts that you were able then to give to friends, to neighbors, to coworkers, to family members. And I've already heard stories of those of you who already took that money from the deacons, from our benevolence fund, and used it and spent it and used it to give a gift to someone else. And I know a couple of you are still in progress. But one of you said, just sent me a text and shared what you had given, shared what you went to the store and bought a bunch of stuff for this family that I know, and said, thank you so much for this opportunity. My heart is so full. It was the best thing I heard in weeks. Because it was someone who understood and who internalized that the gifts that we receive are to be shared, to be given to others. And we already have everything we need, and so what a joy it is to be able to share what we have been given with others. But that continues to be our task as a church this Christmas season and in the coming year. And rather than try to outfit you all with helmets and shields and swords, would be over my expense account, but also would just be a little complicated, I decided to do something instead. I made a bunch of these gift tags. Gift tags at least used to be a thing that people do. And so I'm going to put this here. And it says on it, to share from Jesus. And I know for some of you, that's probably super cheesy, and you're not going to do anything with it. But it's the size of a business card, so you can put it in your wallet. It's this small enough, there's a hole in it, so you can attach it to something. But I'm gonna pass these around, because we've got, as I said, a bunch of them. And so as I pass them around, just take one and pass them. There should be plenty. We made way more than we need. And I'm going to grab a couple more and run them to the back. And all the others will get stuck in the middle somewhere. So that will be great. I'll give this to you. Start this with you, and then we'll run another set over here. So as I said, there's plenty, so if somebody, just take one and pass them down. If somebody runs out or can't find one, there should be enough to go around. As you're passing those around, I was thinking about one of the gifts that God has given me that I can share. And I put this here, not only because I think it's important for us to share this space, right? This is a space that we've just sunk a bunch of money into. We receive this as a gift this morning. And it's right now slated for us to use it once a week, which is great, right? But also means it's going to sit empty 6 days a week, about 140 odd hours, and get used for maybe two or three in a week. This space is a wonderful gift from God, and we have opportunity to share it with others, to try and find different ways and means in which we can invite other people to share in the joy and the beauty of this space. But this this table, we don't have a pulpit per se, but this table is also something that's close to my heart. It's where my Bible sits every week, and it's where I stand when I preach. And that's a huge gift for me as well. The trust of all of you to listen to me share God's word, to bring God's word from whatever book, whatever chapter it is from God, from the Bible, to trust me to bring God's word. That's a gift as well. And so what we've done over the past number of years and what we're going to continue to do this year is to have me share that gift as well. That's why we've started this sermon lab. Because if God can speak to me, those of you who know me better know better how broken I am. Those of you who know less how broken I am. But if God can speak to me and share his word with me, then he can with all of his children. If I'm invited to be a part of God's family, then there's no real limits except the limit that Scripture gives us. Every knee bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And so this sermon lab has been another way that as a church we have decided, and as a pastor I have decided, for us to share the gifts that God has given, to share the responsibility to hear God speaking, and to give it and to share God's word with others. To share the blessings of ministry, the blessings of the family, the blessings of the space, all the things that God has given us to share with others. And so as you, I think most of you have received one of these little things, one of these little gift tags. As you take that gift tag home with you, I just want to invite you to think about a place to put it. Maybe it is in your wallet where nobody can see it and except for you. Maybe it's on a gift that you had planned to give to someone else, or maybe to your spouse, to your child, to your grandchild, but now you want them to share it. Maybe it's on your home, your dinner table, your clothes, your talents. Where's God inviting you to receive a gift from him and to share it with others? After all, we have already received the greatest gift this Christmas, the gift of perfect and wonderful relationship with Jesus. Let's come to God in prayer. Father, in this season that is so much about giving, thank you for reminding us this morning that we have already received everything we need. It's humbling to say those words. It's countercultural. And it takes boldness as well. God, we know that following you, giving our lives to you, can often seem costly. And often we take a step back from what you may be calling us to do because we're just not sure that you will provide. But God, we ask that you would strengthen our hearts this morning so that as your children, we would know that you have already provided. It's not a question of if you will provide, rather if we will respond in faith, in trust, in obedience, and in love. Because this Advent, this Christmas, we celebrate that you have already given us everything we need. And the gifts that we have on top of that are simply extra blessings for the common good. And so God, we thank you for the ways in which you have already used us in powerful ways to be a blessing to one another, to our community, and to our city, and to our world. And we continue to ask, Lord, that you would use us, that you would empower us with your spirit, fill us with your grace and power, and send us out to love and serve you, and to love and serve the people around us. Because when we do that, we are assured that we are serving you as well. All these things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.